2 Kings chapter number 4. This evening we'll read responsively verses 1 through 7. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2 all the way through verse number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, that thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her two sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And she said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed." Let's go ahead and read verse number 7 together. "Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we find in its pages. And Lord, this evening we need just that. Lord, we need to hear directly from you through your word. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Lord, please do something that I cannot do. Lord, please speak to the heart. Lord, encourage, strengthen, and challenge us this evening to do more for you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me start off with a statement here. I don't like being negative about the people in the Bible. It's very easy when you look at people in the Bible and the choices they made. Well, that was stupid. Why did they do that? Well, it's the same reason you make mistakes in your life. If you knew exactly where that choice was going to land you, you may not have made the same choice. Hindsight's 20/20. So I don't like reading through all the stories of the Bible and finding the one thing that's wrong about it and criticizing that person for this. But in this story and in the Bible, I truly believe that every phrase, every word is in the Bible for a reason. I am not condemning the people involved in the story, but I want to take one phrase this evening. I want to take one truth from it and use it to challenge you. It's a thought I want you to think about. The title of this evening's message is this: How to Keep the Oil Flowing. How to Keep the Oil Flowing. If you look at verse number 6, you'll find my text verse. "And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more." And look at this phrase here: "And the oil stayed." The oil stops flowing. There was no more oil to be gained. Now, let's look at this story. In verses number 1, we find a widow lady, a widow of a son of the prophet. Some would refer to it as a Bible college type group. They were young men, or they were men of God, who were training under Elisha to go and do the work of the Lord. One of these men, we don't know who he is, we don't know his wife's name, but we do know that he's passed away. She's now a widow. We don't know her name. In fact, we don't even know her son's name. We really don't know the exact circumstances surrounding her life at this moment, other than we find out she's in distress. When she comes to Elisha and she says, "Look, you know who my husband was. He feared the Lord. He worked doing the Lord's work. He was a good guy. But we've got a problem. The creditor is calling the bill due. And back then, it was very difficult, in fact, almost impossible for a woman to find a livelihood supporting her family. It was frowned upon. In many cases, the death of a husband was almost the death sentence of the woman in and of itself. We find her coming to Elisha saying, "Look, I've got two sons. The creditors are going to come and they're going to take my sons from me. I've already lost my husband. Now they're going to take my only remaining family. They're going to take my two sons and they're going to put them to work until this bill has been paid." I like Elisha's response. When I was teaching, I taught a lecture-style teaching. We didn't sit there and read the whole entire chapter and then, break off and do your own work. I, as the teacher, taught the students the material that I saw was important for them to learn, and I required them to take notes. There were some questions that I realized, well, maybe I didn't teach this right, so I would answer them. There's other times where either the question was asked repetitively, or I felt that the material was taught to the level of they should know what that answer is. You know what I would tell them? I'd say, go back to your notes. What do your notes tell you? What was I doing to them? I was saying, yes, I know the answer. Yes, I've taught you the answer, but don't take the lazy way out. I like Elisha's response here. The widow comes to Elisha and she says, "I need help." And this is the last thing you want to hear from anybody. "Well, what can I do?" Elisha looks at her and she says, "What shall I do for thee? What am I able to do as a man?" Elisha's response at first seems rough, but he was trying to draw her attention away from man solving her problems to God solving her problems. Now, she will get some wisdom from Elisha. In fact, Elisha's second question is the answer to her very problem. She says, what's in your house?" He says, "All I've got is just a pot of oil." We don't know how big the pot is, but we know she's got a pot of oil. That's all she had in her house. God is always going to require something from you before he works through you. He's not going to allow you to just sit back in the Christian life and veg. And when you come into a problem, just all of a sudden, he fixes all your problems. It's going to take a little bit of effort on your part. He's going to require you to make a little bit of a sacrifice. Elisha gives her very specific instructions. Notice the order, notice the instructions. He says in verse number 3, he says, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels." So he wants them to grab the vessels that are full and the vessels that are empty. And he, if that wasn't specific enough, he says, "Borrow not a few. As many as you can get, grab them all. The little ones, the big ones, the fat ones, the skinny ones, the blue ones, the green ones. Grab them all. The turtle sandbox from the backyard, if you can grab that, grab that. Anything that will hold a liquid, you need to grab it." But then look what he tells her to do next. He said, When thou art come in, thou shalt shut thy door upon thee." Kind of bit of an odd, but okay. She's got to obey it. Because if you don't obey what God, through God's man or God's word, instructs you, many times you'll fall short in those blessings in life. "Just shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons. And here's what you're going to do. Pour out into those vessels from what you already have." Now, right there poses a big problem. Because you and I, as humans, we look at things and we reason. And when we look at an item, we realize there's only so much in here. And here I've got 200 pots, and I'm supposed to just start pouring from what I've got. That doesn't make sense. I know, humanly speaking, that this is not going to fill what the man of God has told me that I need. So she went from him and shut the door upon her. There was no questions involved. She just obeyed. And upon her sons, she brought the vessels to her and she poured out. And she kept pouring. And she kept pouring. And she kept pouring. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." I see the excitement. It was definitely at minimum intriguing as to how this is taking place. She's got this little pot of oil and all of a sudden she just starts pouring. And it keeps on flowing. And it just keeps on flowing. And it keeps on going. And after a while, it goes from skepticism to just excitement just to see if this thing's going to keep on going. It just keeps going. And I see the excitement. Get me another vessel. And the kids are going from pot to pot to pot, setting aside the ones that are full and bringing ones that are empty that need to be filled. And the widow follows these instructions exactly, what the man of God, and over a lengthy period of time, we don't know how long that period is, but after a little while, she says, bring me another vessel. And to me, in a way, a sad statement is mentioned. There's no more vessels. Bummer. There's not another one anywhere. There's not one more time that I can see me taking the little that I have and watching God multiply it into more. There's no other vessels anywhere. Are you sure? We come to the end of verse number 6 and we find that the oil stayed. Now, she saw a great blessing. Don't cast any doubt on what God did here and God's provision. In fact, we find in verse number 7 that after this miracle has taken place, she goes back to the man of God. And the man of God says, I want you to take the oil and I want you to sell it. And I want you to live, thou and thy children, for the rest of their life. They obeyed and God blessed. But I want to pull very cautiously and try to keep this in context, that phrase, and the oil stayed. And I want to apply that to you and I in our life. Wonder how many times in our life as a Christian we have a need and we have something that is required to be met that can't be met by man and only God can meet it. And we come to our point in our life where there's no more vessels and the oil stops. I fear that too many times in the life of a Christian that the blessings of God end as abruptly as the widow's oil. And I begin to wonder how many blessings that God has for His children, but they never see those blessings. The oil ceases in their life because we have no more vessels. We have no more actions that God can bless in our life. And we find the oil, the blessing, watching God use us and watching God work in our life, it begins to stay. And before too long, the oil has stopped flowing in our lives and we've become stale in the Christian life. And we stop seeing God work. I wonder how many Christians become satisfied with where they are at. They begin to look at their life and they begin to see how far they've already come, but they stop to realize how far yet they have to go. I wonder if that's why David pens in Psalms chapter 17 and verse number 15, the very end of the verse, he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. David said, I don't want to be satisfied with my life until I awake in your likeness. We were created in His likeness, but our lives are tainted by sin. And David said, I don't want to be satisfied with where I'm at. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to see God work in my life. I want to continue to be used by God to make a difference for the cause of Christ. I want to continue to be blessed by God. I want the oil to continue to flow in my life. How do we keep the oil flowing in our life? Well, I want to look at the very things that Elisha told that widow and apply them to you. Number one, in order to keep the oil flowing in our life, there must be a confession of inadequacy. There must be a confession of inadequacy. You see, when it is an obvious in our life that we need God, it's easy. When we look at our lives from where we used to be, it's easy to see how we needed God. But dear friend, have you realized recently how much you still need God? Do you remember what David said? David said, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, and cast me not away. My biggest fear, as somebody who works with people, who works in the ministry, who lives in the Bible, who lives working 24/7, is that it gets old. I fear that one day I'm just going to walk in and think that I can do it on my own. And as Samson stood up and said, I will defeat the Philistines, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. I don't want to get to a point in my life where I become so dependent on what I've already seen God do to make it through the rest of my life. I don't want yesterday's blessings to make it for today. Yesterday's blessings were fun, they were enjoyable, and it was neat to see God work. But today has got new blessings, and I need to be willing to go before God and admit to Him who I am as a human being. I am not perfect. I am not in His likeness. I have not awakened in glory. So therefore, there is something that I can still improve on. And I want Him to show that. Maybe that's why David would pray, show me my secret sins. Show me those things that in my life, to me, don't look that bad. But in your eyes, they might be limiting the blessings of God flowing through my life. There must be a time of confession of inadequacy. You see, the widow had a problem, but until she was willing to step out and go to God's man, that problem would have never been answered. Until you're willing to go to God and say, God, I've got a problem. Whether it's big or small, how that's classified, I don't know. To me, anything in my life that I need to get close to God, that's a big deal. Anything in my life that I need, it's big. And I don't want to look down on that and keep myself and hinder myself from getting those needs met. We need to be willing to be humble. The hardest thing to do with either a Sunday school class or a school class is to be humble. Anytime the book of Proverbs talks about learning, it says, bow down thine ear. There's a humility involved in learning. There's a humility involved in getting from God. The Bible talks about giving grace to the lowly. The Bible talks about those that are humble receive from God. And if I'm walking around in my pride, convinced that everything is okay, convinced that I don't need God, then that oil is going to stop flowing. And I'm not going to get from God what I need. The widow had to come to a point where she not only realized that she needed God, but that she was willing to ask for help. How long is it going to be till you ask for help? Especially with teenagers, they're very private, very quiet. And it's hard sometimes to get them, you don't get somebody to trust you, but it's hard to earn their trust and to make them realize, I'm not here to hurt you, I'm here to help you. But that doesn't just apply to teenagers. As we get older, we become more established in our lives. And if we're not careful, we get proud. And there's things in our life that we need as a young adult, as a middle-aged adult, or even as a senior citizen. We know we need something, but we're too stubborn to go and ask for help. Don't be afraid to seek and ask for help from either God's man. Seek God's word in a time of need. It's important that you don't look at your life and say, I've got this. Take heed, lest you fall. It's be very careful, be very cautious when you get to that point in your life when you don't need anybody. You don't need God. You don't recognize that you need Him as much. What in your life does God want to bless? But He cannot, because you told Him you know what's best. You may not have said, God, I know what's best. But through your actions, you've skipped that time of devotion in the morning. Where in the quietness of the morning or in the late hours of the evening, as you calm down your day and prepare for bed, you stop and you pull out God's word and you begin to read and to think about what God has for you. And you begin to have a walk with God. You begin to tell God the problems of the day. You begin to tell God about the needs of other people that you've met that day. And you go through your day and you skip that. And before too long, you've convinced yourself that you don't need God anymore. Only when you come to the point when you realize that you can't do it, can God step in. And it is that moment that God will show you that He can. God doesn't need much. God didn't ask the widow lady to sell her house. God didn't ask her for $1 million. God didn't ask her to go climb a glass mountain. He said, what do you have? Just take your little and give it to me and I'll make it much. Amen. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. It's amazing. God doesn't want a whole lot. He just asked for a little bit of faith. He just asked for a little bit of obedience. He just asked for a little trust. He just asked for a little action of faith so He can bless and begin to work in your life. God does not need much, nor does He need perfection. He just simply needs somebody who is willing to listen, to trust, and to obey His words. Because He cannot bless you outside of your obedience to His word. God cannot bless you outside of your obedience to what the teachings of God's word may be in your life. And if that widow lady would have never realized in her life that she needed help, and then realized that she needed to go and ask for help, and then went and asked for help, she would have never seen the blessings of God in your life. I wonder, have you come to the point in your Christian life where reading the Bible is just another story? I love the Sunday school lessons that we've been teaching, Brother Mike. I've heard these stories from since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and yet again, I find it every time I go and I try to read that story and think about how I'm going to help somebody with it. It's amazing what God gives me, and His words become alive and fresh and new every morning. Has the Word of God become stale to you? Has attending church just become a ritual? Now, I'm glad you're here, and you being here means that God can begin to bless you. But don't just walk in here, old hat, just another Sunday. Walk in excited about what God can do, asking the Lord to show you something from His Word today, and asking you how He might improve your life. You must confess that you're inadequate. You must be willing to take that little bit that you already have. You say, I don't have much good. You're a candidate that God is looking for. How do I keep the oil flowing? Number one, there must be a confession of inadequacy. Number two, you must continue to do what God has said to do. Don't stop doing what God has said to do. So many times in life, we continue to obey and we continue to obey, but we're looking at it selfishly. We're using the obedience to God as a springboard to get to the next level, not as a foundation to build upon. We obey in one area, we see God bless, and we stop doing that, and we try to pick up something else. As a coach in basketball, the first year I got there, number one, junior hires don't have much coordination to begin with. And I love them to death, but then you take a bunch of city slickers that are used to thumbing on a computer screen and don't get outside much. It gets exciting. And it was so funny to teach them to dribble a basketball and then to teach them to run. And it was an amazing day, Brother Scott, when they found out they could run and dribble the basketball at the same time. And they didn't have to do one or the other. It was a wonderful day as a coach to see the light bulbs come on. And I wonder sometimes if that's how God is with us. He teaches us to do the basic things of the Christian life. And then we see a greater need and we think we need something bigger and better. No, we just need more of the basics. We just need to do more of what God has already told us to do. You need to keep emptying your vessels. I wonder, your body, the Bible calls it a vessel. Are you emptying your vessel out? And to those around you? I wonder if the oil stops flowing in your life because you receive and you receive and you receive and you become full and you become satisfied because you quit helping people around you and there's no more space left to give. Have you emptied yourself of self? I won't take the time to belabor the point, but I remember as a young lad watching Brother Hiles do something called what he would call the silent prayer. He would walk to one side of the platform, he would begin to pray. And he would find somebody on the platform to give what he just got to. And he would go through this several times, asking and receiving, giving to others what he has received. Then he gets to the second point of his silent prayer and he begins to receive and stuff in his pocket. Once those pockets were full, he goes back to God and there's nothing left. He doesn't get anything because he's already got what he needs and he hasn't been distributing. Is God stopped the oil in your life because you haven't emptied yourself? She had to take what was in that cruse of oil, and he began to empty it into that pot, and then take that pot and empty it into another one. And she had to keep emptying. Have you stopped emptying yourself of yourself so that way God can fill you? The reason most Christians walk around powerless is not because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved inside of you when you got saved. The problem is not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have, but how much of me does He have? Amen. You want to be used of God, give Him more of you. Allow Him to influence your life more than what you already are. Empty yourself of self so that way He can step in the void. Don't stop until you've exhausted God's resources. Amen. So many Christians are satisfied when their needs are met to their satisfaction, but what if God had more? What if there was another need to be met that I could have been used to meet? Don't stop when your resources are exhausted. Stop when His resources have been exhausted. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. An old country preacher once said, He not only owns the hills, He not only owns the cows on the hill, but He owns the taters in the hills. God has unlimited resources to His disposal, and He's willing to give them to anybody who is hungry. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. When we stop opening our mouths, when we stop wanting and needing from God because we're satisfied with where we are, where we're satisfied with yesterday's devotions, we're satisfied with last week's blessings, the oil will stay in our life. And we will no longer see the blessing of God fall. And we will no longer see God work through us. Many Christians today rob themselves of the blessings of God. And they limit God because they stop doing what God has said to do. We won't take the time to read it. But in 2 Kings chapter number 13, there's a story. Once again with Elisha. Comes to a man. He says, take bow and arrows. And I want you to take this bow and these arrows. I want you to shoot these arrows. The Bible says that he opens the window. And Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians. And the Bible goes on to say that he takes the arrows and he smites it upon the ground thrice and stayed. He only shot three arrows. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Thou hast smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but three times. He only defeated the enemy three times in his life. He should have shot every one of those arrows till they were gone. And many times in our life, God has given us arrows to shoot and we're satisfied. And we stay our actions and God can no longer bless because we're content with our actions that we've already completed. And we fail to see that God has more for us to do with our lives through our obedience to Him. And we stop doing what God has told us to do. Don't quit doing what God has told you to do, Christian. Don't get tired in the work of the Lord. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, ye shall reap if we faint not. It's amazing in our lives as we look at it. I think of the crop. You plant a seed. You water the seed. You make sure the weeds aren't there. The plants begin to grow and you nurture that seed. And then you reap the harvest. Your life is the same way. Just because you reap that harvest one time doesn't mean that there's not any more. Replant that seed. Re-nurture that seed. Redo what God has already blessed. And it's important in our lives to realize that we don't get tired in the mundane. We don't get tired in the basics. Don't allow the basics to become boring. Allow the basics to drive you to do more for God. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Don't faint in your doing of what God has called you to do. Hey, mom and dad, don't faint in your child rearing. It's not easy. It's never been easy. But for some reason, it just seems like there's an all-out attack on the home. They're tearing down the very basic fundamental structure of the home of mom and dad. And they're taught to not respect authority, but don't give in. Stand your ground and continue to do what God has told you to do. Teach those children and rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, soul winner, sometimes it gets discouraging. You know you're doing what God has called you to do, but yet you feel like it is fruitless and it is worthless. Continue to do what God has to do. You will, with weeping, you will bring in those sheaves in your life and you'll watch God's blessings come into your life. Don't become tired in doing what God is doing. And you set down that cruse of oil and say, I've done enough. Don't set down that bow and arrow and say, well, I've shot enough. I've seen enough victories in my life. I don't want the victories from yesterday. I want the victories today in my life. I want to see God do something today. Number one, I must confess my inadequacy before God. Number two, I must continue to do what God has said to do. And number three, and lastly, I must stay in close communion with God. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. It's when you're alone that you watch God move. It's when you're alone in the wee hours of the morning, when you're all by yourself, when you're shut off from the electronics, when you're shut off from the things of the world that grab for our attention. It's then when God has your attention. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Take time in the busyness of life to shut everything down. Just because this stupid thing buzzes doesn't mean you need to answer it. There comes a point in life where this thing becomes a hindrance. I love technology. I use it every day of my life. And I'm not going to want to go back to the good old days, because I'm glad I live when I live. I like my technology. But there comes a point in time where this can become a distraction. You text me or call me at a certain morning. Now, obviously, if it's an emergency, it's a little different, and I pay attention to that. But as a majority, as a rule of thumb, a certain time of the morning, this thing goes off. I don't even know it, because I don't even have it next to me, because I know what my brain's going to do. I hear it buzzing on the coffee table, and I was getting ready to get into something good, and I start wondering what's going on, and I lose focus. It's a little buzz, enough to throw my brain off. It's gone. It's somewhere in a different part of the house. I don't hear it. I don't see it. Why? Because I don't want anything to come between me and my communion with God. That door is shut. My personal time with God is the most important time of the day, because if I don't get what I need from God, I can't help somebody with what they need that day. That personal time with God is where I learn. The Word of God is a mirror. When's the last time you looked into God's Word? And you looked at your reflection and you go, like I do every morning, ugh, that's awful. When's the last time you filtered your life through God's Word? When's the last time you took a good long look at God's Word and allowed your reflection to bounce off? Oh, we can compare ourselves to one another. We can lie to ourselves and feel like we're doing good. But have you compared yourself to God recently? Have you gone through a checklist of what God wants you to do in your life? It's that personal time with God where God reveals to you in your life what He wants you to learn, what you could improve on, and what He needs to change. When I shut that door, I'm shut off from worldly influences. Shut off the television. Shut off the radio. Take time to just think. Take time for allowing the meditation of God's Word. David said, "Well, I'm used, the fire burn." The problem with America today is we got so much amusement, we have no musing. The word the prefix "ah" means no. So, and the word amusement or entertainment thinking. The word amusement is thinking. So, amusement is no thinking. When I go to an amusement, a park, I'm going to a park to not think. So many of us are treating our devotionals like an amusement park. We're not thinking about what we're involved in. David said, "While I was thinking, the fire burned." When's the last time you allowed God's Word to just burn deep in your heart? When's the last time you allowed during your prayer time the tears to flow? And it won't happen every time, I understand. But when's the last time you just begged and pleaded and prayed for God to get a hold of you and to do something in your devotions and in your private life when you've got that door shut? Allows me to receive strength by seeing who God is. It's been a long day. It's been a long week. It's been a long year. There's been a lot of troubles in my life. And it's when I go to God, I get alone, and as Isaiah said, my eyes have seen the King. When I begin to see who the King is, those troubles in my life begin to dwindle away, and I begin to realize He is the God who provides. He is the God who meets my need. He is the God who's the cleft in the rock that I run to. He is the wings that when I'm in trouble, when the storms of life, as that mother hen will gather her chicks underneath her wings, it is the Heavenly Father that will draw me in close to Him when I allow Him to, when I'm in close communion with God. The story was simple. A widow lady goes to God with a need. She gets instructions from the man of God how to meet that need, and the needs are met. But if you'll allow me to, let me make the statement, I don't want to live the rest of my life on the promises and the blessings of yesterday. She lived the rest of her life off of what she saw there. And boy, every time The need was met. It was wonderful. But keep that oil flowing in your life. Many of us who have grown up in church probably, maybe, could live the rest of our years out off of what we've already learned. But are you satisfied with where you're at? Are you content with who you are? Has the oil stopped flowing in your life? You can get it flowing again. Just because the oil stopped doesn't mean you can't turn the faucet on again. Sorry. Go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I've lived these past few days, these past few weeks, not recognizing how much I truly need you. Admit your inadequacy as a child to its father. Cry, Abba, Father, and jump into the arms and return home and watch how God begins to bless you. Continue to do what God has told you to do. Have you stopped obeying God? Have you stopped doing what you know you're supposed to do to try to figure out what the next step in your life is? If I do today what I'm supposed to do, I will be tomorrow where I'm supposed to be. Continue to do what God has told you to do. How about your communion with God? Have you shut that door behind you where it's just you and God? How is that time of fellowship with God? Are you walking with Him? Are you growing closer to Him? Good indication is how much do you talk about Him? My roommates in college were happy the day that I got married. You want to know why? Because for however many nights it was between the time I started dating my future wife to the time we got married, every single night. Don't ask me how I'm doing, because you know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you about all the mushy texts that I got from my girlfriend. And we're going to start talking about all the fun we had together. How close are you to God? The more you spend time with God, the more you're going to talk to others about Him. How is your communion with God? Do you spend your time talking about the things of this world that will one day fade away? Don't limit God's blessings in your life. When you're in need, don't be stubborn to the point where you don't ask for help. And make sure you go to the right place for help. Realize where the blessings of life come from. The Bible simply says, and the oil stayed. My biggest fear as a Christian, that one day I just become an item on a shelf, empty and dry and oilless, and no longer used by God to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? Has the oil stopped flowing? Are you still salty? Are you still shining your light? Many of us need to admit our inadequacy to God. Maybe we need to continue and start back up what we know we should be doing. Maybe it's time for us to tomorrow morning to get up and to start that walk with God again, to develop and reestablish that relationship with God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I do not know how the Lord spoke to you. But if He did anything for you like He did for me, I get guilty every time I think about it. Christian, are you satisfied with where you're at? Grace Baptist Church, are you satisfied with where you're at? Are you satisfied with hearing the stories of 20 years ago? Do you believe that God can still do today what He did 20 years ago? Let's stop telling stories about 20 years ago and start telling stories about yesterday and people getting saved and God working our lives. Let's stop telling that devotion we learned in our Bible 5 days ago. Let's talk about the devotion we got from God this morning. Don't live off yesterday's blessings.